Welcome to Metaphysical Trait Talk from the Heart. I'm Atira, your host. And thank you for persevering through our delays tonight. And I have to say, it's not me and Dom this time. It's nothing metaphysically spooky. It's actually mundane electricians who are working on our station. So, and if, for those of you who don't know, Mercury is in retrograde, and it seems like if electrician or any electrical things can go wrong, they are. So tonight we're going to talk about the terms used in metaphysics, because I think it's really important, as I do this radio show, to be able to educate and help people know about terms that are often used in the metaphysical world. And so I'd like to discern a little bit tonight, before we take calls at half past, about the word psychic, medium, clairvoyant, because they kind of get all jumbled, and people think that all of them apply to everybody. And if you get into meeting mediums and clairvoyants, they will kind of discern that there's a little difference. So when we talk about psychic ability, I'm actually going to read a short definition from the Encyclopedia of Psychic Dictionary. It says it is the psychic ability is a sense to understand, to interpret, and use for practical purposes a force that enters in and intermittently out of the body and the mind without the use of the five senses. It's a force that we have around us, our etheric field, and I agree with the definition in many, many ways. For me and from my work, you know, everybody asks me when I'm out doing talks and workshops, am I psychic? And I believe everybody comes in with the psychic ability, our sixth sense. We have our five senses, we have a sixth sense, and we actually have the seventh sense, which nobody ever uses very much, and that's our common sense. And we need all of them to do our work, our spiritual work, as well as our mundane work. And I disagree in a way that the five senses are not involved, because I do think we do use our sense of touch in a way, in the feeling sense of the aspect of the psychic sense, because most people sense or feel first when they use their psychic experiences. So for my work, it means that we are surfing the auric field or the etheric field around a person. For most of us, we let all our stuff just hang out in our energy field. And that's why someone can walk in a room and know if someone's been fighting or someone, you know, having a little affair, things like that. It's that it's hanging out in our energy field. And if your energy field is attuned right, it will pick up on those things that go on. If you've ever seen the movie Star Wars, and you'll remember the scene where they ejected the ship with the garbage, and then the ship floats away with the garbage around it. It's pretty much like that, our energy field. And so most people who are psychic or surfing that energy field are also sometimes using telepathy. They're using mind transfer. And so everybody has a natural ability to have a sense about, oh, somebody calls and you know who it is before you pick up the phone. Often mothers have a great psychic sense because they'll know if their kids are in trouble. And so that's more what I call the psychic energy. Then when we start talking about mediumship, it's a little different. I think clairvoyance and mediumship are used at a different level. A clairvoyant reaches into a different, higher consciousness. I think they tap into the universal mind, and they also go beyond the normal senses. And a medium, I believe, does the same thing. Now, I also believe, from my body of work, that most mediums and clairvoyants are psychic, meaning that they can work at that mundane level of just surfing the energy fields around us. But by and large, I find that mediums and clairvoyants are using higher levels of things. And some of the examples, I think, are very important, that there are many different kinds of mediums. I don't think that there's just one kind of medium, and I think that's very confusing, because most people, when you say medium, they think of the person talking to the dead, or what we call the so-called dead, because we don't really die. Our energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change form. So most of us are consciously thinking of mediums like, for example, John Holland, or John Edward, or James Van Praagh, or Sylvia Brown. Those are the ones that are in the media right now, or the show The Medium with Alison Dubois. So we think of right now in terms, when we hear the word medium, of those people, because they're in the media. They're where we can see them very visibly right now. But mediumship has been around a long time. And most of those people are practicing what we call conscious mediumship. They're, in other words, they're not in a trance. They're standing on a stage, talking to people, and interacting with people. So there's lots of different levels of mediumship when we start talking about mediumship. And I think it's very fascinating because that field is so vast and it's been around so long. When we talk about trance mediums, there's even different kinds of trance mediums. So when we talk about that, you can use examples. If anyone's ever studied Arthur Ford, he actually sat in spiritualist circles, went into a trance, would have his guide come through and talk, and he would give messages mainly through his guide. And once in a while, then the person would, his guide was named Fletcher, and once in a while, then other entities would talk through him, but mainly he used a main guide came through him. And in his book, Life Beyond Death, he talks about how his mediumship developed and how it worked for him. And Ellen Grant is a female version of Arthur Ford. She also wrote an autobiography called Many Voices. And Eileen Grant was an amazing medium, and she was studied extensively. These are both very good examples of trance mediums. They definitely go out. They're unconscious most of the time while this is going on. Most of these talk about not, they don't know what went on. They have to rely on reports. At that time, most of their work was hand-recorded and then later became recorded on tape recorders. Then we have another phenomena in mediumship that's much older, from the 1900s. D.D.H. Holmes, he was known for levitation. And we don't hear much about levitation here in the United States or actually anywhere in the world right now, although I think it's still out there. When you talk about some gurus and things, you hear yogis. In India, you hear a little bit about levitation, but we don't hear about it as we did in the 1800s. And I think part of the problem, we are not seeing some of this incredible phenomena that was very, very popular in the 1800s and 1900s, is they didn't have TV. They didn't have computers, and they didn't have, all the Game Boys, all the things that put us on sensory overload. Most of these people who really studied mediumship in those times were not distracted. You had your dinner, you went from there to the parlor, and participated in development circles. So I think some of the phenomena that is talked about in research when I study is not happening now, mainly because everybody's so distracted with sensory overload, cell phones. I also wonder, and I'm trying to do a study on this actually, if it's not also because our electromagnetic field has been affected by all of this. Computers give off things, microwaves give off things, and I really noticed that my energy is affected when I work, if I'm around too much equipment, too much audio equipment. I felt really excited when I saw John Edwards on stage say that they always have four or five mics ready for him because he affects mics, because I went through 9 portable phones till my husband said, as long as you're not home, it's just fine. So I think electronic equipment certainly can be affected or affect our fields, therefore maybe sometimes distort how good our psychic or clairvoyant dial-up is to the spirit world. So I think some of the reasons we're not seeing as many trance mediums, as many perhaps phenomena in mediumship today, is that we are humanly distracted and not perhaps studying and putting our energies into it as seriously as perhaps they did before all these distractions were available. Another thing that I think is important to talk about is another field that falls into 2 different areas, because I've heard them being called clairvoyants, and I've heard them be called mediums, and I've heard them be called medical intuitives. And I think it's a field unto itself. Edgar Cayce is, of course, I think the best example of that. He's phenomenal. If you don't know about the Association for Research Enlightenment and Edgar Cayce, you should check it out on edgarcayce.org on the net. Edgar Cayce was very, very famous. He is a man who appeared to go to sleep. He was hypnotized or went into trance, and while in trance could basically project his consciousness to wherever a person was, and he would then say, "We have the body here," and he would do a reading on them of what their health issues were, and then he had developed the ability to give some kind of diagnosis and give some kind of idea of treatment, certainly not necessarily traditional, and amazing, amazing documentation is available at the ARI. They have all those records, and he had profound healings happen by people trying his treatments. And then, of course, now we know about Carolyn Meese's work, where she is considered a medical intuitive. So we have all these fields of amazing that are all part, I think, of being clairvoyant. And yet it gets very confusing, because I think when we often meet a clairvoyant or a medium, we think they do it all. And I don't find that to be true for myself or other people. I think that sometimes it's just like doctors. You know, you can be an MD, but then you specialize sometimes and can be a brain surgeon or, you know, a bone specialist or a heart specialist. And I find that in my field that it's happening, that there are mediums that might get information on something that's happening in your business, per se, but their real ability is to talk to your passed over loved ones and reconnect you and help with the healing of that. James Van Praagh's book, Healing Grief, is a powerful book in that it talks about the grief of not just losing people, but losing jobs, losing relationships, losing many things. So there are different levels even within our understanding of metaphysical and spiritual terms that kind of gets muddied as a layperson sometimes. And so I think it's important, in particularly when you're wanting to have a reading, to know what kind of clairvoyant or medium or psychic you're looking for. I think in particular in the last 10 years for me, psychic has gotten to be sort of a dirty word. I almost cringe when people use it anymore because it has gotten so messed up with 1-800 psychic lines, which unfortunately are not necessarily reputable. I think there are probably a few out there that are fine and have actual mediums and, you know, have good credentials. But I gotta tell you, if you're listening to me tonight, please do your homework. It is the client's responsibility. It is your responsibility to not be naive about when you're going to a reader. You wouldn't just, like, you know, open the phone book to doctors and, you know, without looking, close your eyes and point to a doctor most of the time. You wouldn't do that. And so if you're wanting a reading, don't do that either. Be really educated. If it's a 1-800 line and you absolutely feel like that's the thing you should call, you know, call and see if they have any fraud listings against them. You know, there was one out of New York City, very, very famous, and I won't use names, but, you know, said that, you know, call and you get this person. And they just picked up people off the street and were hiring them. They had something like 17 counts of fraud against them or more than that before it was done. So please don't just blanket us. Do homework. You know, call, ask questions. Want to know, you know, if you can see a bio. The internet's wonderful because you can see bios and you can see things that are written about them. You can also, you know, check with the fraud department. Make sure there's no fraud against any of these. I had a client that called me, and unfortunately, in the middle of the reading, she started crying, and I said, "Are you all right?" Because I didn't think there was anything to cry about at that moment. And she said, yes, that she had been taken for $30,000 by fraudulent clairvoyance. And so I gave her information on how to pursue to hopefully recoup some of that. But you have to be careful, too, not to get addicted to someone else giving you information. That's not our job. You know, as clairvoyants and psychics, we're here to help you when you're stuck, but really we're here to help you get in touch with your angels, guides, and masters, your ability. So, you know, if I've done my job right, you're talking to your own guides and I'm out of work. There are so many things that you can learn and develop yourself. Don't get stuck in this needing someone else to answer the questions. It's certainly a wonderful science, and, you know, I think it's wonderful to be involved in metaphysics, to study, to ask questions, but ask lots of questions. If you're looking for a medical intuitive, you know, really do your homework. There's some really good reputable medical intuitives, and most of them, if you're looking at their credentials online or in advertisement, they'll let you, you know, they'll have some clients that are more than willing to, you know, share their information and say, yes, they got information, they got help. So definitely do homework. The ARE also has some very good line. They have some field-tested clairvoyance. So certainly check out organizations that have done their own homework or tested their clairvoyance. Dr. Gary Swartz, that's a name I hope you all start learning. He is the man who did a lot of the studies on John Edwards, Alison Dubois, but he lists many, many people that he's actually technically studied in his new book called The Medium. So that's a great reference. There's other books that certainly can list clairvoyance and things that are reputable out there. So it's about learning terms and learning to ask the right questions. So it's interesting that I think that I believe we can all start to develop. So if you're interested in developing your own psychic ability into something more powerful, there's a couple books that I think are very good. One is Sonia Coquette's The Psychic Pathway. The other one, I think, is John Holland's Psychic Navigator. He even gives you a free CD. The most important thing for developing is being consistent. Most people want to go take a weekend workshop or a week-long seminar and just add water to become clairvoyant. And it doesn't quite work that way. Just as you did not learn your ABCs the first time you said them, but you repeated them and sang the ABC song until everybody was crazy. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes really trusting spirit. And I think that's the hardest part, is that you have to learn the difference between your mind talk and the talking of spirit. And it does have a difference. It has a different tone and sound, a different sense. And the best way to know that is to do practicing of asking spirit for information and keeping a journal, and there will become a pattern and a sense and a rhythm to it. You have to really trust yourself, put in the time. It's not something that's learned in a weekend. I really have never met anyone. I've met people who have really developed or bloomed or got the hang of it in a workshop, but it's much more than that. To be good at this kind of work, you have to be consistent. You have to be able to spend a lot of time, trust spirit. Most people, if you read about James Van Praagh, he sat in a development circle for over 2 years. And John Holland as well. Most of the ones that you'll see that are in the media that have been, you know, are really getting known, have spent a lot of time in their using their ability. Some of them came in with it. Some of them had an incident, a car accident or something that kind of gave them a cosmic wake-up call. But it is about developing and spending the time to hang out with spirit. I encourage you to learn how to do that. I also encourage you, if you're going to do that, to know some of the basic things, that it's very important to surround yourself with light, white light, to set intent. You know, don't just go out and say, okay, I'm going to play with this energy and I'm going to call just anybody up. It's just like one of the reasons that Ouija boards are not, you know, considered very good things, because they're sold as a game. Well, it's not a game. You know, energy is not destroyed. It just changes form. And so if you're playing at this as a game, you know, and you go to contact somebody and you say, well, I'm going to contact whoever shows up, or, you know, the problem is that just because somebody dies doesn't make them. Well, here we go. I hope we're back. I have to tell you now. So we were talking about that if you're going to develop, please set intent. I think it's very good if you're going to start trying to develop, to please ask that you call in your angels, your guides, and ask for your highest good. Don't just call anybody, because if you get just anybody, you could get somebody that's waiting for an opportunity that's still very attached to being human and has an attitude. So you want to remember to set intent and to be sure that you set the right atmosphere and be, you know, very comfortable. I actually tell people when they first start up not to do it alone. I think it's better if you have someone with you that has, you know, good intent. And certainly try to develop, ask for messages, keep a running diary, because it's important to see consistency. And you'll get a sense if it's a negative spirit or something, you know, that's a lower vibration. And remember, you're in control. You can ask it to leave. It cannot say, hello, we have someone on the line? Hello?
Hello, Tara?
Hello?
Hello?
Yep, you need to speak up, darling. Can't hear you
okay,
very good.
My mother passed away, and I'd like to know who met her when she crossed over.
Okay, your mom's name?
Ellian.
I'm sorry, you're
going to
have to... You have to say louder, hon. I don't know why the equipment's not working real good tonight.
My mother's name is Ellian. A-L-I-A.
Okay. Well, actually, she was met a lot by, she was met by an aunt, a distant aunt, was the first person, interestingly enough, that was there for her. And I feel like also there were three other people, but they're in the shadow, so I don't have names. I just know that they're family members.
Does she have any messages for me? Is she around me?
Actually, she's around you quite a bit. She is not, I feel like, got the hang of communicating or moving things, okay? So there's a sense of her being around you, but not very, like, not things maybe that you can recognize yet, okay? Because she hasn't got the hang of that, how to move the energy.
Will she start coming to me in my dreams?
It's going to be a while. It's going to be well. I'll ask you to hang up and I'll answer this because I don't know why we're getting distortion.
I won't be able to listen if I have.
Oh. Okay. Well, the only thing I can say is they say to me that it's going to take her a while. She has not got the hang of the communication, so I just have to tell you, trust, ask her to come, and keep the faith, because that's all I can give you today, because she just really can't hold her energy good to make communications. And that happens often when when souls have been over there a while or they have some things they have to process. It takes a while to get the hang of that. If you watch the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, remember he had to go back and learn how to move pennies? It takes time for them to acclimate on that side.
Okay.
So sometimes it takes longer to communicate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is she happy?
Yes, she's happy, hon. Absolutely. I have yet to met, in 25 years of doing this work, honey, anyone that's begun... disgruntled over there. It's like when they leave the physical body behind, the things that were worrisome, that are overwhelming or painful here, it just doesn't exist there. So they absolutely go to a calmness. Now, it doesn't mean that they give up all their issues. Sometimes people do go to what I call the cosmic hospital. And it's a dimension where they often recreate their house they live in. And they work through their issues. Now, you know, so... that they don't have the pain and the discomfort in the sense that they had here.
Okay.
It's more like if you had an anger issue here, you would see the anger issue and you'd have to try and understand why you had it and how you didn't deal with it. Okay? So it's a very different dimension.
Okay, can she hear me? Can she see
Absolutely,
me?
Absolutely, hon. Everybody, it's like you're in the kitchen and she's in the living room. You can't see each other, but you can hear each other just fine.
Okay, does
Thank
she know
you.
That I grieve for
Thank
her
you.
That?
Next caller, please. It's real important. The problem is when people call in, I really want to tell you, what happens is they're so trying to get so many questions answered on the air, they don't listen to the answers, and it's really hard, because especially if you're on the phone with our technical difficulties tonight. I'm not trying to be rude. It's just hard because I can hardly hear her. But it's important, first of all, they always can hear us. They know what we're doing. If you watch any medium on the TV, you will hear them talk about, so you painted your bathroom last week. They will tell you, hello, welcome to the show. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, we're having a lot of technical fun today.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm calling from Canada, and I didn't think I'd get through,
but
I did.
Oh, welcome. So can I have your name and
it's Linda.
Linda, okay. And Linda, question or comment?
I guess I just want to know what message my angels have for me.
The first things they say for you tonight, hon, is that you have been on a 2-year roller coaster ride. Do you understand this?
Yep.
Yeah. Then you changed it. It just flipped in January for you. They're very excited. There's a new beginning coming for you. There's also, you're taking a lot of things off your plate. You're kind of getting rid of some shoulda, woulda, coulda stuff, okay, because you've been overwhelmed. And they are really talking to you a lot more. So you need to kind of set some time aside to talk to them, okay, and kind of pay attention because they're using feathers to try and get your attention.
Okay.
Trust me, take the feathers. The cosmic 2x4s hurt.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I really want to say May and June are windows of opportunity for you, and you're going to feel better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of just were stuck. I want to say it's kind of like you've been derailed with this stuff that was kind of working you emotionally. But they say you're back on track. So the rest of 2006 is going to be nice.
Good.
Okay, yay.
Yep.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are in a time where, you know, things are speeded up, and I really encourage people who want to get spiritual messages to really set a time. Edgar Cayce was real big on 2 a.m., but I tell you, I'm not so thrilled about 2 a.m. I kind of have a non-talk time between me and Dom, like from about 12 o'clock to 5 is a no-talk zone for me. I need to sleep. But find the time that's right for you. Angels will tend to wake you at 4:44. But pick a time and ask spirit to work with you. You don't have to, you know, if they start waking you up at 4:44 or 11:11, those kinds of numbers, they're important. It's trying to get your attention. But then you can tell them, I would really love to communicate with you between, you know, 9 and 9:30 at night, and set a time. It's important to set a time where you talk to them and a time where you listen. And please know when I talk about talking to angels, guides, masters, passed over loved ones, it does not leave God out. You have to have a connection to infinite intelligence, God, Goddess, all it is, and insert your favorite deity. I was raised Southern Baptist, so I tend to use so please remember to keep your spiritual focus as well. Hello.
Hi, Atira. It's Kathleen. How are you?
Hello, Kathleen. How are you?
I was wondering, I was listening to you earlier on your show when you were talking about electromagnetic fields, and I was wondering if there's anything that we can do to protect ourselves from the negative effects of that.
Well, I think one of the biggest things to do is to cleanse your auric field. You can do it by taking and actually just being aware and using your own energy to absolutely use it almost like you're erasing things in front of you to clear your auric field. I also think in ancient times we used to go and bathe in the ocean, but our oceans are pretty polluted now. So I do find it great help by actually taking baking soda and sea salt baths. I'm not prescribing. I'm just saying what I do. I find that really clears my energy fields. And I think, you know, it's interesting because salt and baking soda, you know, are used in different things for telephones and different things like that. So I think really by doing things like that, but also just taking time to use any of the chakra CDs that are out, some of those are lovely because tones also help break. It's almost like, you know, if you hit a certain tone, you're going to almost feel the stuff just break away from you. And so as we have these meridians in our body, just being aware of them, consciously asking to have your angels, guides, and masters to help clean them when you're in a shower, all those are techniques that are important to keep your fields clear. I also think that sometimes wearing certain things does help. I actually wear magnetite. Don't get it near your credit cards. It'll help erase them. But I actually have found for me, if I'm going to be around a computer a lot, I wear magnetite or hematite. It seems to somehow disrupt whatever energy comes from the computer for me. I think sometimes you have to experiment and find what works for you. I think that just trying not to spend too much time in front of all those gadgets is a good thing. Have time
I'm
where
sure
you walk out in the earth, you know.
It's just difficult not to in this day and age.
It is. Well, we're all addicted, you know, but we should be addicted to taking a walk outside, you know. If you walk out where there's lots of trees,
mm-hmm.
the energy of trees actually are like combing your auric field.
Oh,
it'll
great.
Take out a lot of the negative stuff. Excuse me, but it will not take out the emotional stuff, okay?
Okay.
It'll take out the clutter that's accumulated from magnetic stuff, fields, and energy stuff. But the emotional debris, that's your cosmic work, slurry, yeah.
Okay.
Nobody takes our garbage out but us. Sorry.
Okay.
I know, I'm looking for that cosmic maid that'll do it for me. That was a great question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope I answered it all.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank
Good.
You. Good night.
Night. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's important to try and keep our energy field. Also, just being conscious of working with your energy field, trying to expand it or close it down. I shrink mine often when I'm going, if I know I'm going to go to, like, a Whole Life Expo or some big show where there's lots of psychics and lots of things. I know I don't want to hear all that stuff. I don't want to be so open that I have, you know, get a cosmic headache from it. So we can certainly, you know, make our field bigger or smaller, contain it a little more. But the most important thing is to start cleansing it. And it's really hard to get people to focus on it. Because as you become more metaphysical and spiritual, you can't blame everybody out there. You know that you're a co-creator, and you start having to look at your own cosmic basement and to clear out the clutter. And the more you I always say, the more you defrag your energy field, the clearer everything is. It's just like your computer. If you defrag your computer, it runs. Hello? 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 I don't know if anybody's out there or if it's just me talking to myself, so I guess I'll keep talking. Just the technical difficulties tonight are certainly disrupting my energy field. So as we start clearing our energy field and defragging it, our energy runs faster. Our vibration becomes higher. And as our energy fields get less cluttered, our vibration goes higher because we're letting go of the negative stuff, the fears, the anger, the, you know, what if, all of that stuff brings our energy field down, so therefore does not give us a clear line to spirit. The more we clean our energy field, the more we take self-responsibility, the higher our vibration raises. And I do find that if you do meditative forms of meditation, yoga, things like that, keep your body healthy, of course, that, you know, the better the instrument, the finer you care for your instrument, the faster you hook in, the easier it is to slip into those other dimensions. I believe everyone has this ability. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Now, Kira, Atira?
Yes, darling.
When we give you that beep, we need at least 5 seconds before we put them online.
Okay.
When we give you the beep, you're always saying hello, hello,
okay.
Hello. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
It's all new to me. I'm trying to get it all out, worked out here. Hi.
Hi. You can hear me, Atira?
Yes.
Hi, it's Yvonne. How are you?
Hi, Yvonne. How are you?
Hi. Okay. I had a general question, but I think I'll go with my personal if you see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have some crazy stuff going on at the dental office as far as billing, and it's a silly question, but then again, it's not. It was very upsetting to me. So the question is it going to turn out okay? Are they crooks? I may be doing grievances and stuff, and it's got me really worried. It's a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess. And
yeah.
Now there's too many people in it. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? There's more. Too many people are trying to solve whatever the mess is.
Yeah.
Okay. I do feel it does get solved, and
okay.
and you should not worry so much. I do feel like Is there more than one piece of paper involved in this?
It is, and like I say, it sounds like a silly question in general, but it's not. It's a family-owned business, husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
and I'm questioning their billing yet again, and today they won't even talk to me on the phone. They want me to come in.
Yeah,
I feel they're crooks, and I've spent a lot of money, and
okay.
now we're going to be going into grievances and stuff.
Okay, I feel like as long as you have your the paperwork, that you can get this settled,
okay?
And I also feel like there's a billing fafu, so I don't want to say that they're just crooks, okay?
I know.
Okay.
But I'm mad.
So, yeah, I feel like there's more than one thing going on, maybe even that there's been two people doing their books or something.
Okay.
So there's some kind of big fafu, and it is a big mess, and there's too many people involved in it, but I do feel you get it worked out. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what
good.
I mean. I didn't want to say crooks either, but you are.
Yeah, I know. I just feel like
what I'm feeling.
I feel like you're being put off because they're trying to straighten it out, too, and they're trying to not look like fools.
Exactly.
Okay. So I think it's really an honest, big smoosh up. You know, I think
okay.
that there's too many people, like they're two different people were doing the billings, or that one let go, and then things have gotten confused, and they're trying to not look stupid, but they're kind of looking stupid because they're not handling it professionally.
Okay, and to me, they're looking like crooks.
Yeah, I think it looks that way, but I'm not getting that feeling. I'm thinking you can get this worked out and straightened out.
Okay.
Bless
then
your heart.
I won't be so angry then like I was today.
Yeah, try not to
juggle.
Be angry. Try to really go in with... Listen, this is what I know what happened. This is the paperwork I have.
Yeah.
I think there's a fafu here, so I don't want to accuse you, and I don't want you to accuse.
Okay.
And I think you'll get a lot further. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
I don't want to hog it with my personal
it.
Question.
I'll
I let somebody else in.
No, I do see it straightened out for you, okay?
Great.
You bet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
I want to explain to my listeners, please bear with me because this is my third show on internet radio, and I have not got the hang of how all the beeps and whistles go. So please bear with me. The next few weeks we'll be, I'm sure, doing much more smoother communications here. So as I was talking about before the caller called in, is that as you're developing, you know, be patient with yourself, too. Because at first it may sound like it comes in three or four words and you get, you know, you're unsure of what it is in the message. But as you keep a journal, and it's important and imperative to keep a journal, because if you don't, your mind will not remember. You will wander off. And so the more you can focus on communication and trusting spirit and, you know, set a regime that you're going to do it at a certain time and night and that you're going to use your white light and just have it all written out at first. You know, it's okay to be in kindergarten and to do this because it will, or follow a book, find a book. There's some wonderful books out there, thank God, because when I was developing and really flailing around, you know, there wasn't very much. I was so thrilled when I found Edgar Casey's book, There Is a River. So as you develop or as you want to develop, and I encourage kids because kids from birth to about 6 years old are very open and are hearing spirits and communicate with their angels. Often they'll call their animals and their dolls, their angels' names. So it's really important to be as, you know, comfortable with that and ask them when they start talking to their invisible friends. You know, ask the invisible friend's name and ask them if they feel safe with the invisible friend. You know, and if they do, then let them carry on and ask questions and learn. Or if they want to go to a store and pick out an angel to have in their room. I think those are all very healthy ways to help your little indigos and crystal kids develop. But certainly, if they're afraid of their invisible friend, if they're scared, then you need to intervene, certainly. Because sometimes, you know, spirits who have passed over, people are very, some people will say, well, there's no negative spirits. And I go, wait a minute here, let's talk. You know, I have run into negative spirits. Just because somebody dies doesn't necessarily make them happy. And you've got to remember, just as Gandhi and Mother Teresa are on the other side, and Jesus, so is Hitler and other entities. So they are in a place where they have to work through their issues, just as we, when we pass over, we'll see our life review and work through our issues. So perhaps, sometimes, a negative entity will come to someone who's innocent, who's a 100-watt bulb in a 25-watt world, and because they're drawn to the light and they're still attached to humanness in this side. But we can ask them to leave. We have the right. Our spirit is stronger than that.
And it's a cosmic kind of law that, you know, if we ask them to leave, they must. So I've never had an experience where when I ask an entity to leave, that they have not. I can only speak for my work. I'm certainly sure there's other experiences out there that may not be so, but in the years that I have done this work, any time you've asked a negative spirit to leave, it leaves. And you have to do it at every level of your being. You can't just do it at a mind level. I think some of the things where we see where there's, you know, things stuck in people's houses and things, sometimes they're there because they had a tragic ending, and it is not anything to do with a person, but it might get shook up because you have remodeled the house or you have started developing, and they're trying to commune to you about something. Sometimes negative spirits will come to people who are doing drugs and alcohol. Often people who are alcoholics will have issues with spirits and hearing voices, and often I think that is because someone who had the same addiction on the other side is drawn to that energy. They didn't want to give up that form of addiction here. And so they get caught up in all of that stuff. And when you take drugs and alcohol, you have to be very, very careful because it opens you up at an unconscious level and you can get into deep trouble. I absolutely, if I've had a glass of wine once in a while, I have a glass of wine. At dinner or something, I don't read, I won't work, I just don't believe, I don't think that's good for me. Now everybody's different as to their tolerance levels and different things, but that's just my personal thing I don't do. So everybody has different ways of developing and doing things, and some people say you have to be a vegetarian, as we were talking with Agnes last week. You know, some people say, oh, well, you won't develop and you won't be the, you know, the top person in your field if you don't become a vegetarian. I think all those are personal things, and you have to know what your personal agreement with God, Goddess, all that is, and to keep your level of communication and trust with your guides or whoever's working with you. I've had my guides since 5 years old, so for me, it's like I've had enough experiences with Dom Solace is his name, but I call him Dom because when I was a kid, I could say Don Solace, to know that I would say 98% of the time he's right. I argue that extra percent, and I'm usually wrong, but I have enough experiences that when I get those feelings or knowingness from him, I really, really, truly, intuitively trust it. But I'm human. We're all human. So there will be times you'll argue, and you'll second guess yourself, and you'll go through all those experiences that come with developing. You know, just like even though you might start developing and get messages and get things, then there's a whole nother side to this profession that people don't talk about very much, and that is how to deliver messages, because you still have to consider, you know, what they give you. Most of the time I say pretty word for word, but there are times when I know Dom doesn't quite understand this person's emotional state of being, and I have to deliver it in a way that it'll be more calming. For example, I would never say someone's going to die. I would not say that. I would say, you might want to look at, you know, I can't find their energy. It gets less till this time. And so if there's things you want to say or do or clarify, it's very important to start that and to go forward with that. And I know we're getting towards the end of the show, and I know it's been sort of a disrupted show, but I hope I've given you lots of knowledge and lots of information to further your education, and I look forward to our next show. And I'm hoping to talk with the author of Dead As I'll Ever Be, Pamela Evans from Canada, and talking more about her experience with different kinds of mediums and her journey. I think it's going to be an exciting interview. And until then, make sure you let your heart light shine to light your way and the way for others. And I've so enjoyed this evening and this time together, and I hope that you got lots of questions, because when you get in a dialogue like this, I think it provokes more questions than answers sometimes. And that's good, because it makes you go in search of in many, many ways in your life. So, again, it's been a pleasure being with you, and hopefully in the next few shows we'll have all of the glitches worked out. And, you know, watch out for Mercury retrograde. It seems to affect electronics in every way you can imagine.
So make sure that you do check BBS Radio for the archive shows, as well as checking Angel, www.angelscribe, angelescribe.com, and you can find out what's going on around town and sign up if you want to for our newsletter. I try to send out a newsletter before the show so you get an idea of things that we're going to be discussing. It gives you time to formulate questions. And make sure that you get the opportunity to listen to the Higher Dimension Phyllis Pricer show, as well as Agnes's Pets Tell the Truth show. I'm delighted that Agnes has come on board with WWWBBS Radio. And so I think we're giving you a lot of opportunities to experience metaphysics in many, many forms. And also I hope to, in the future shows, interview Richard Scholler. He's a wonderful medium from New York, as well as I'm working on getting John Holland. I'm so excited about that.
You've got 30 seconds.
So hopefully John Holland, he's on tour right now with his new book, 101 Ways to Develop Your Psychic Ability. He also has written Born Knowing and Psychic Navigator. So we look forward to having the opportunity to share time with lots of different kinds of mediums, lots of different kinds of authors, and experience everything that will hopefully help you become more metaphysically aware.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.